Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 11th, day 5 of 9/11 on trial. You're watching Wing TV, and I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We want to thank everyone who's been giving us all the great feedback on these shows. A lot of good words, also some bad, right?
Yeah.
People emailing us saying that they believe the Popular Mechanics article.
And that we're pathological liars. They must be confusing us with Art Bell and Mike Gallagher.
Yeah. And all we have to say to those people that believe the Popular Mechanics article and Benjamin Chertoff and his ilk is keep tuning in, take a look at this book, and after the end of this trial, if you're still not convinced, then we don't know how to get through to you, but keep tuning in. I was talking to someone today, Lisa, that has a degree in science. He just bought the book. And he said he was skeptical. He didn't believe what I was saying. He's about three-quarters of the way through the book right now. And he said every single thing in this book can be verified. He said being that he is of science, he said he believes everything in it. So keep taking a look. Also, a very monumental week here. Lisa was the first caller last Saturday night to get through to Art Bell when he had his disinformation special on. So very good there. Also, our local newspaper, the Center Daily Times, gave us 650 words for an op-ed piece that was in yesterday.
And to the person who emailed me and told me to leave Art Bell alone, no, because Art isn't telling the truth. We're not going to leave him alone.
Right. And speaking of him, our new thumbs up, thumbs down column is out this week. The number one thumbs down this week is to Art. So take a look at that.
And naturally to Popular Mechanics.
Right. And, without further ado...
Okay, we are going to deal with the testimony surrounding World Trade Center design today. And now let us join the Honorable Judge, Alan Kirkpatrick.
With our witness, Michael Waldeer.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Your Honor, I'd like to begin with this very brief statement. To understand what impact the planes and fire had on the World Trade Center Towers, we need to look very closely at how these buildings were constructed. Today, witness number three, we'll talk about the World Trade Center design. Mr. Waldeer, how tall were the World Trade Center towers?
1,368 feet and 1,362 feet.
Very good. And how long was the base of each structure?
207 feet.
Okay. So, if we walked along the side or the sidewalk of one side of one tower, it would be like walking along two-thirds of a football field. And then the next side would be the length of two-thirds of a football field. And the third side would be two-thirds of a football field. And the final side would be like walking along two-thirds of a football field.
Yes.
And how much area was contained within each floor?
Nearly an acre on each floor.
Okay. Most people would be very pleased, I think, to have a half an acre plot of land for their house. So every floor, what you're telling us, So every floor of each 110-story building was nearly an acre in size.
Yes.
Okay. Needless to say, these structures were enormous, weren't they?
They were.
Okay. In layman's terms, how were these towers constructed?
Well, the primary element of each tower was an enormous steel and concrete core, which was designed to support the entire weight of the building several times over.
Okay. Were these central columns merely service cores that housed elevator and utility shafts?
No. There were 47 steel box columns tied together at each floor by steel plates, similar to the 52-inch deep spandrel plates that tied the perimeter columns together.
Okay. To give us some perspective, how huge were these core columns?
The largest of these columns was 18 inches by 36 inches, with steel walls about 4 inches thick near the base.
And how were these towers connected to the ground that they stood on?
The foundations of the Twin Towers were 70 feet deep. At that level, the 47 box columns were connected to the bedrock, and they supported the entire gravity load of the structures.
So they extended, by what you're telling us, 7 stories below the streets of Manhattan?
Yes, that's correct.
And again, How massive were these columns?
The steel walls of the lower box columns were 4 inches thick.
And how were the towers held together?
Each tower was supported by a lattice of 90,000 tons of steel, strong enough to resist earthquakes and hurricane force winds.
When we look at the government's official version of events, you get the impression that the towers were somewhat flimsy in their construction. Is this true?
The World Trade Center was made with some of the largest, strongest fire-retardant steel beams of any building in history.
And considering now, by what you say, their obvious strength, how much was each floor designed to hold?
According to the PBS Nova Companion website for their documentary, How the Towers Fell, each floor was designed to hold 1,300 tons beyond its own weight.
Okay, now since a ton, if people out there don't know, since a ton equals 2,000 pounds, that's 2,600,000 pounds beyond its own weight.
Correct.
And what, once again, constituted its strength?
The core was built of sheer concrete, reinforced by 44 beams of construction-grade steel, which took up the majority of the tower's footprint.
Very good. As we have seen from the government's official version of events that we looked at earlier, they purport that the towers collapsed after one floor fell down on another, creating a pancake effect of sorts. Is this consistent with the tower's design?
In the World Trade Center, concrete was only a flooring material. It wasn't holding the building together. Rather, the building was a three-dimensional network of steel.
So, unlike bridges or other concrete structures, the World Trade Center towers were truly steel buildings.
Yes. Each floor was a network of steel beams, covered by a corrugated steel deck, which in turn was filled with concrete.
Okay, elaborate a little bit more and describe this arrangement.
The concrete was 4 inches thick, which gave it substantial strength. But to describe the floors as slabs of concrete is as silly as describing the floors as being sheets of carpeting. The floors were grids of steel, a mesh of steel. The concrete was just a filler to provide a flat and fireproof floor. As a matter of fact, the steel beams were so thick that American steel companies supposedly couldn't produce them. According to FEMA and other sources, nearly all of the thick steel plates were produced in Japan.
Very interesting. Was this flooring system as simplistic as the government says it is?
Hardly. The floor framing system for the two towers was complex and substantially more redundant than typical bar joint floor systems.
Did the central core of each tower depend on anything else for its support?
No. They were anchored directly to the bedrock and did not depend on any floor diaphragms for support.
Okay, with that in mind, now we know that each central core was a freestanding entity. Let's turn our attention to the external perimeter of each building. How were they constructed?
The external skeleton was a latticework of structural steel elements.
And how about the outer facade that everyone saw when they would look up from the street?
The external facade was constructed of aluminum and glass.
And was this outer structure attached to the central core?
Yes. The perimeter columns were connected to the core by means of steel bar joint trusses in the concrete floors.
Okay. Now we're going to speak... But we're going to speak about these trusses later. But before we do so, let me ask you this. Was there a lot of material used in the construction of these towers that could easily catch fire?
Absolutely not. None of the building materials provided much fuel for a fire. The only readily available fuel would have been some of the decorative construction materials, such as carpeting and draperies, and whatever else was provided by the building's tenants, primarily office furniture and paper products.
Okay, we're going to cover this subject in much greater detail with later witnesses. But for now, for the time being, would these materials have been enough to create roaring fires capable of collapsing the towers?
None of it would have come close to sustaining a fire of sufficient intensity to cause the collapse of the towers.
Were there also sprinkler systems in these towers?
Yes, the towers were retrofitted with fire sprinkler systems capable of handling routine office fires.
So what you're saying now, what we essentially have are steel and concrete towers that became, at the time of their construction, the tallest buildings in the world, quite literally a showcase for America. How well were these buildings put together?
Well, because the buildings were, as you said, a showcase of sorts, we can imagine that the architects, engineers, builders, and inspectors would be very careful to overbuild every aspect of the building. If one bolt was calculated to serve, you can bet that three or four were used. Also, technically speaking, a structural member must be physically capable of holding three times the maximum load that will ever be required of it. but the steel used in the World Trade Center towers was able to hold 5 times its normal load. So, breaking strength equals 5 times working strength. And given that none of the floors was holding a grand piano sale or an elephant convention that day, I don't think any of them were loaded to the maximum.
So what exactly does this mean?
According to Dr. Thomas Eager, a professor of materials engineering at MIT, the steel in the towers could have collapsed only if it was heated to the point at which it lost 80% of its strength, which would be about 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now, we're going to ask all of the jurors present today to keep this 1,300-degree figure in mind, for it's going to become very crucial in our upcoming testimony from other witnesses. But for you, Thomas, let's move along. Are the statements you're giving unique only to you, or have they been confirmed by others?
Robert McNamara, president of the engineering firm McNamara and Salvia, he said in an October 9th, 2001 edition of Scientific American that nowadays they just don't build them as tough as the World Trade Center.
Well, give us an example.
Well, the structures were so stable that the top of each tower only swayed 3 feet in a high wind.
Yeah, I hate to be redundant, but please elaborate further.
These buildings were indeed solidly constructed. Proof of that lies in the fact that they stood for 30 years in winds which sometimes reached a hurricane force. One-quarter high-mile buildings which relied solely on the integrity of weak trusses and 5-inch bolts wouldn't have stood for 30 years.
That's a good point. Have any of those people involved in the construction of these towers weighed in on its design?
As a matter of fact, they have. Hyman Brown, the World Trade Center construction manager, he's also a University of Colorado civil engineering professor, said of the towers that they were over-designed to withstand almost anything, including hurricanes, high winds, bombings, and an airplane hitting them.
Well, what about the other designers? Did they concur?
Aaron Swirsky, a World Trade Center architect, told the Jerusalem Post Radio after the attacks that the towers were designed around the eventuality to survive that kind of attack. Also, Leslie Robertson, the project's structural engineer, stated that he designed them for a 707 to hit. That was the largest plane at the time. He believed that the building could probably sustain multiple impacts of jetliners because the structure was like a mosquito netting on a screen door. The plane would just be like a pencil puncturing that netting. It really did nothing to the overall integrity of the net.
Now, some people say that a 767 jetliner, which hit the towers that day, is much larger and therefore more destructive than a 707, which these structures were designed to sustain injury against. So let me, I know this might be a bit complicated, but is this sentiment accurate?
No, it isn't. Global research compared the two jetliners, and what they discovered is that a Boeing 707 has about a 15% less weight than a Boeing 767. However, the wingspan and length of a Boeing 707 are also a little smaller. However, the cruising speed of the Boeing 707 is quite a bit faster.
And there's also the length, I'm sure, is similar in the maximum fuel capacity. Is that true?
Yes, those are both very similar.
Okay. So what do these numbers, then, tell us about these two jetliners, the 707 and the 767?
The Boeing 707 and 767 are very similar aircraft. The main differences being that the 767 is slightly heavier and more fuel efficient, and the 707 is faster.
Okay. Now, before we get to the final analysis of these two planes in relation to the Twin Towers, approximately how much fuel were the Boeing 767s carrying on the morning of September 11, 2001?
Well, the actual aircraft involved in the World Trade Center impacts were only flying from Boston to Los Angeles. So they consequently, therefore, would have been nowhere near fully fueled on takeoff. The aircraft would have carried just enough fuel for the trip with some safety factor.
And why is that? Is there a specific reason?
Carrying excess fuel means higher fuel bills.
That makes sense. Now, how much fuel, then, were the planes carrying when they hit the towers?
Government sources estimate that each of the Boeing 767s had approximately 10,000 gallons of unused fuel on board at the time of impact.
Okay. With all of this information in mind now, can we determine if the damage of a 767 would be similar to that of a 707, which the towers were specifically designed to sustain an impact from?
Yes. The calculation for thrust to weight for a Boeing 707 is quite a bit higher than the Boeing 767. The Boeing 707 has a higher thrust to weight ratio, so it would be traveling faster on takeoff and on landing. And since the Boeing 707 would have started from a faster cruise speed, It would be traveling faster in a dive. So in all likely variations of an accidental impact with the World Trade Center, the Boeing 707 would be traveling faster. Now, in terms of impact damage, the higher speed should more than compensate for the slightly lower weight of the Boeing 707.
Okay, and I will mention, if anyone would like to verify these calculations, they are contained in the book 9/11 on Trot. My next question is there a formula to determine the amount of energy that would be imparted on these towers?
Yes. The formula basically is 1/2 times weight times velocity squared. Using that formula, the 707 would have about 4.136 billion foot-pounds of force on impact, while the Boeing 767 would have 3.706 billion foot-pounds of force.
Okay, very good. And once again, these can be verified in 9/11 on trial. Okay, my next question, Thomas. I realize that the previous form is quite complex, but in simplest terms, what can we conclude from it?
Well, at cruising speed, a Boeing 707 would hit the World Trade Center with about 10% more energy than would the slightly heavier Boeing 767.
Which is to say what?
Well, under normal flying conditions, a Boeing 707 would do more damage than a Boeing 767.
Okay, and once again now, to reiterate, let's be very clear. The towers were designed to withstand the impact of a 707.
Correct.
Then they would have, if we go by these calculations, they would have been able to withstand the impact of a 767, which is what struck it that day.
Correct.
Okay, before we close, how were the towers constructed in comparison to those today?
Well, to quote the BBC, newer skyscrapers are constructed using cheaper methods, but the building was magnificent.
Okay, finally, and we'd like to thank you for appearing today, what did FEMA determine about the World Trade Center Tower's design?
Their study did not reveal any specific structural features that would be regarded as substandard. And in fact, many structural and fire protection features of the design and construction were found to be superior to the maximum code requirements.
Well, thank you for appearing today. Thank you, Your Honor. There are no further questions.